Please listen carefully.
Hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Summers McKay.
And I'm Christy Jansen. And we are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to help make it one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And also, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy podcast. Today is Tuesday, the 21st of September, 2021. Hello, happy fall. It's official.
Happy fall. Yes.
Did you get a chance to see some harvest moon last night?
I did, although it's a bit overcast where I'm at, so it wasn't as bright as it might otherwise have been. But I love looking at the moon, and yes. I like the harvest moon in particular. So yeah,
I know, it's like the perfect witch's moon. And now this year for this harvest moon, I actually have black cats during Halloween. But I will say it came in so bright into our bedroom that I had to basically build a pillow fort around where my daughter was sleeping so it wouldn't wake her up. That's because funny. It was just this huge, super bright moon. But I stayed up and I watched it and my black cats sat next to me and I felt like a witch. So I am excited that fall is here. I'm ready for the changing and cool and kind of ready for football weather. Do you watch football, Christy?
Nope. I mean, it's on around me sometimes because people in my household do sometimes.
But you're not a football fan.
I am not a regular consumer of football. In fact, it's never been a game like that. Wasn't something I grew up with in my family. We were baseball watchers and basketball, but not football.
Well, our first story, I guess I didn't mean to create such a quick, fast pass to our first story.
No, it's fine.
But football season, baseball season, brain injury season is upon us, right?
Yes.
And we have some exciting news. My headline reads, FDA approves new brain protective gear for athletes. Now, brain injuries for athletes in contact sports have been steadily rising since they began being recorded. I think part of the rise is that they are recorded, but the traumatic and potential long-term effects of these injuries has been documented, and little has been accomplished to actually reduce their likelihood. In 2020, a study from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons is quoted as saying, between the academic years of 2015 to 2017, the overall average proportion of concussions reported annually increased significantly compared with previous academic years. Now, that's on top of the fact that actually less athletes are playing contact sports. Now, I'm sure, Christy, that you know, and many listeners know, that I myself actually had a traumatic brain injury.
Yeah, and, I do. Yeah. Yep.
It was a series of sort of progressive injuries, probably stemming from like an early pretty bad head injury while skiing as a kid. So, this is kind of a big deal, right? You've got a teenager, you know that, heads are getting knocked about, whether they're athletes or not, right? Your son was playing basketball for a bit. This is something of major concern to parents. The good thing is, guys, there is a new product that has finally come to the market that is an FDA-approved product to reduce the occurrence of brain injuries. A company called Q30 Innovations announced the U.S. launch of their Q Collar. Okay, Christy, this is kind of cool how it works. You want to hear? I do.
Right. Yeah, I'm very curious to see. Like, I'm trying to get a mental image in my mind as well.
So it's not a helmet, right? It works with helmets. What it is a jugular compression collar. Okay.
That sounds uncomfortable.
Terrifying, right? That sounds terrifying. That sounds like a super bad idea. Why would you ever compress your jugular vein? But actually what it does is by slight compression of the jugular vein, it is increasing the total blood volume in the head during athletic competition, which is insulating and preventing brain sloshing or movement upon impact.
Oh my gosh.
So what we're not having is less impact, right? Like impacts are still happening and helmets are still protecting somewhat against impact. But what this is doing is it's increasing your own body's ability to protect against that impact. And it's been tested, you know, with athletes from soccer to football to hockey, and I'm sure baseball players are using it too. We just learned that there are a number of NFL players who are using it.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, I think this is really, really exciting because it doesn't, it's meant to be used with other headgear.
Uh-huh.
But for some sports where you don't use other headgear, like soccer, right, where there is not routinely other protective gear on your head, but there are areas of contact and impact, in particular girls' sports like volleyball, this cue collar can be used by athletes to protect their brains. So I'm pretty excited for this one.
Well, it's certainly a very interesting and very innovative approach, something that would never have occurred to me. And some of the conceptualization that had to have gone on is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And to think about brains sloshing around in your skull and how do you increase the blood volume in your head to help cushion the brain a bit more. I don't know. It's really interesting.
It seems like anti-intuitive, right? Like it is
anti-intuitive. Exactly.
It seems like it's a terrible idea. And then it turns out that it's not.
But it's, I guess they've been doing testing on it. FDA has now approved it. And it'll be interesting because I know that baseball is not one of those sports that you have a lot of brain injury in. But
actually, that's not true. They get a lot of concussions. Think about it.
If you run into each other when you're like trying to catch the ball, I suppose.
Yeah, either catching balls, head injuries directly from balls, and then certainly like as you're sliding into bases, brain injuries happen in baseball for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm, you know, I'm looking at this thing, at, you know, cue collar thinking, you know, as my daughter grows up, she just started soccer. Right. She might be a little too young for jugular compression. But, you know, I think about like me as a skier, if part of the protective headgear for skiing, and I know when I grew up, like nobody wore helmets during skiing and folks do now, but I love the idea of having that additional assistance in the process.
Now. Well, you're going to be wearing you wear your scarves as you're skiing. So I may as well add a little extra compression there for your jugular veins, which
is very... All right. So from jugular compression to other medicine,
Thinking of other medicine, my headline also talks about advances in medicine. I'm actually pretty intrigued by this story. And the headline reads, Emory University School of Medicine now includes climate risk in the curriculum. And I really found this article so interesting and inspiring because the change came from the medical students themselves who petitioned the Emory University School of Medicine successfully to include climate risk assessment into the medical school curriculum. Because it's becoming more and more evident that as the climate crisis accelerates and becomes more evident in every aspect of our lives, our health is definitely one of those areas that you have to look at the environment that the person's living in to take those things into effect. So you have heat stroke, you have asthma, you have lung disease, you have depression and well-being in general that are all affected or impacted by the environment that the people are living in. And most medical school curriculums do not discuss climate change when they're talking about potential disease risk factors. We wrote an article over the weekend about urban green space and how in some cities where they have almost no tree cover, that it's 10 degrees hotter in those neighborhoods than in the areas where there's lots of tree. And that is also very closely linked to socioeconomic profiles of those communities as well. So all of these things are interconnected, right?
And I think if people think about like, oh, is heat stroke really, is heat stroke really a problem or is that a medical issue? Well, heat stroke, there has actually been a huge rise in number of people dying due to heat stroke.
Actually, it's one of the things that people die from more often than almost any other thing, heat stroke and dehydration. And there, I think I read another article yesterday about how now the FDA and OSHA are going to bring that into addressing health for.
I think exactly. You and I must have read the same thing, because that's what I was referring to, is that OSHA has acknowledged that the increasing level temperature on this planet is increasingly creating dangerous working conditions and killing people.
Killing people in the fields, especially like when they're outside and don't have, you know, but also you have worsening, and more often you have heat waves. Mm-hmm. And especially for older individuals that don't have their body is not in finely tuned regulation. And especially if they don't have air conditioning, or they're in homes that aren't well insulated, heat is actually a really bad thing. Look at what happened in Texas this last year with the cold too. That can be another issue. And then just you have smog and smoke from fires, and all of these things can lead to.
But the solution, focus on it, right? Now we're just creating climate anxiety for ourselves.
So the solution is that bringing this directly into the curriculum, so that the medical students can actually understand how to diagnose and then treat some of these symptoms, but also the systemic environments that the people that they're treating live in. I like it.
I do. That's too. I love the idea that the students themselves are acknowledging a sort of runway issue, a long-term problem that needs to be focused on. And, you know, as we talk about science becoming, and tomorrow we're going to have an interesting conversation on the Optimist Daily Update with a science communicator discussing that this conversation of science and this iterative learning that science has, you know, over the process of coming to conclusions. Science has been pushed in this corner of always needing to have a conclusion as opposed to being in a learning process. And I love that these students said, hey, we need to learn. This is part of our learning. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of learning, I have to cop to something, Christy.
Oh, yeah?
I did not do the Optimist Daily Update challenge over the weekend. I know that I promised, and like yesterday, I was sort of vague about it. We didn't talk about it. I did not do what I had confirmed and committed to do, which is to learn what is recyclable in my community. Will you give me another day?
I'll give you one more day. We'll talk about it on tomorrow's podcast. Okay. And you have to now go call or do some research from your local recycling center, what they take, what they don't, and how you treat your plastic waste.
I am going to do it.
And other waste.
The other waste goes into my septic tank and waters my yard. So that's different. Okay. What else are on today's articles on the Optimist Daily?
Okay. Other headlines from today. There's a new Illinois bill which leads the nation in climate equality. Go read about that. New York City is going to build one of the country's biggest EV charging networks. I'm seeing EV charging stations pop up all over my community here in Santa Barbara even. That's interesting. SETI unveils effective way to address marine dead zones, another consideration when we want to take care of our planet and the biosphere. And this article, which is one of my favorites, is about how Thailand's idle taxis are finding an unusual new purpose during the pandemic. It's about like rooftop gardens. So you got to go read that article. What else, Summers?
Great. There are 100 solar EVs, which will soon feed the Dutch energy grid with renewable power. Find joy in your workday again with these four strategies. New York is removing policing from city schools, and Amsterdam's underwater bike garage will also improve aquatic habitats. I love the idea of like everybody parking underwater, but that's not actually what's happening.
I don't think that's what it is, but
everybody like diving down and parking their bike. But that's not what it is. It's actually a way of using urban development, structural development to improve aquatic habitats. That and much, much more is, as always, available on theoptimistdaily.com. Thank you for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We will continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. Become an emissary if you have not already on the new, shiny, brilliant OptimistDaily.com. And for $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Let's keep the optimist daily free to all who need it, supported by those who can. Thank you, Christy. Thank you, Amelia. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.